Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. Here we are, July 24th, 2012, almost at the end of July. Someone please tell me, at the risk of me appearing to be elderly and asking this question again at the start of the show, how did this happen? How is this year flying by? In some ways, this year has been absolutely dreadful. Wow! In other ways, very, very exciting. Didn't expect 2012 to be like this at all, but it is. And you know what? We are just laughing along, singing a song. What else can you do? It's life. It throws you curveballs when you least expect them. That's what the truth is about curveballs. And somebody who can tell us a whole lot about that, because her life has been fascinating and challenging, and she is one of the most courageous people I know to march through it all with that smile on her face. The amazing Chris McNulty joins us next hour on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I'm just so tickled. This is a revisit for Chris. We're going to hear music from her and her soon-to-be-dropping CD, and also from her late great son, Sam McNulty, also known as Chap One. Let's get started with something that just is going to put you in a good frame of mind, shall we? Charles McPherson, this is Morning Dance. Check it out.
Thank you.
Aren't you glad we live in a day and time when we can hear George Benson, huh? Man, no matter who sings that song, of course, Jeffrey Osborne does the slower version. George heard that and went, I think I could put a little energy into that. Whatever, it's just one of those phenomenal songs written by the late, great Skip Scarborough, who knew a thing or two about great songs, having written classics for Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Anita Baker, and Bill Withers. Oh, amazing. From George's 1979 Living Inside Your Love double album, title track of which was written by Earl Clue, certified gold. George Benson, no stranger to gold. coming to Philly. And my Cali friends, check it out. He's coming soon to Napa and Temecula, so you don't want to miss George Benson if you have a chance. After having seen him at Capital Jazz, it just doesn't suffice to say that it's exhilarating to see him. When you have the semblance of the stage and then there are screens where you can see him, woo, it is larger than life, just a really thrilling experience, and he loves his audience so much, and that's the reason why he's had such longevity. He's been doing this, honestly, since he was knee-high to a grasshopper, so that guitar is his second skin. He just loves the whole nine of being on that stage. Very, very cool. Cindy Bradley, woohoo! Cindy, she is doing her thing. You heard Massive Transit from Unscripted. And I played Cindy because I want you to know she's going to be on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy on August the 2nd, which is the first Thursday of the month. And don't forget, while we're mentioning this, the first Tuesday is going to be the 7th of August. And, of course, that's the day that we invite everybody and his mama to call in, especially local and regional folks, to tell us where you're going to play. I just open up the phone lines for that first hour or two. We're going to have a special guest that day, and I'll tell you more about that later. But keep in mind that day, August the 7th, and keep in mind Cindy coming here on the 2nd of August. Cindy, just so busy, bless her heart. Oh, my gosh, the Suffolk Riverfront Jazz Festival is coming up soon. She's going to be playing Blues Alley, which is why she's going to make this little guest appearance on the show, Blues Alley, in August. Really excited about that. Then she's going to go to Philly, which is really close to her heart because she spent so much time in New Jersey. Now she's living with Dan, I believe, in New York. I think she moved back there, but Dan Cipriano, just love him. Great, great saxophone player. You talk about a union made in heaven, Cindy and Dan. Oh, my gosh. Just so cool to know that she has found somebody who gets her. I love it. Cindy Bradley, Massive Transit. And we started off the set with Charles McPherson, Morning Dance from Manhattan Nocturne from 1998. A champion on the alto sax, composer. Today is his 73rd birthday. So, Charles, God bless you. Thank you for all that you've done, and especially for this. Charles was commissioned to assemble the tracks for Clint Eastwood's Bird, the soundtrack back in 1988. Didn't he do a good job? Charles also played with Charles Mingus from 1960 to 1972. And on this particular really swell Manhattan Nocturne CD, it's Victor Lewis on drums, Bobby Sanabria on congas, on bass, Ray Drummond, and one of the greats, Mulgrew Miller on piano, who I just found out was an inspiration for Robert Glasper, who's coming up later on in the show. I am just so stunned at some of these cats who have taken a cue from the masters that are either gone or still alive and have run with it. You talk about thinking out of the box, Robert Glasper. Those are two words after that particular phraseology, okay? That's all I'm saying for right now, because I want to get Chris McNulty on the show, who's coming up for an interview at the top of next hour, but she's going to stay with us through the show, and I want to get her input about some of these tracks that I'm going to play. Really interesting perspective, not only from Chris being a jazz vocalist of extraordinary dimension that she is, but also because she is from Australia. It's interesting to get a perspective from somebody who hasn't been acclimated to the States for all these years. So I'm really excited about that. One of these guys that I wish that she would come to know is from the Baltimore area. This is a young man who is absolutely breathtaking. when you look at this guy, you would have no clue that his ancestry is part Egyptian. He really has taken to finding out about his lineage, the music from his father's homeland. And I just love this track. It's my favorite track from the Todd Marcus Jazz Orchestra, In Pursuit of the Ninth Man. This is a track that is very much Egyptian in nature. It's called Male Salama. And I'll tell you more about it after you hear it. So beautiful. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Check it out. the amazing Pharoah Sanders. Oh, yes, recorded live at Keystone Corner in San Francisco quite a few years ago, actually. What, 1982? Pharoah Sanders, as he was born in Arkansas. And such a lot to say about Pharoah Sanders. The best methodology is to go to his .net website. Born October 13th, 1940, so he'll be 72 this year. His birthday's 3 days before mine, so that's why I always remember. Just an amazing, amazing player who inspired John Coltrane, by the way. And they worked together as John was feeling more and more of that avant-garde bent to his music. And you know, as is the case with so many folks who have been great in jazz, there was much dissension, much controversy about John's style changing, but he had to follow his own path, and that's the mark of greatness. Pharoah Sanders would know all about that. He's an award-winning saxophonist, and what you just heard is Heart is a Melody, Hiroko's song. Just a little story for you about Pharoah. He had come from Arkansas to New York, and his name was still Pharoah. And who took him under his wing, who fed him and clothed him and gave him money because he was homeless, penniless? Sun Ra. Now, that is the man, reportedly, the great artist Sun Ra, who gave him the name Pharoah. But there is a little bit of a controversy revolving around that, too, because Amiri Baraka said he was the one who called him Pharoah because he misjudged hearing Pharoah and thought it was Pharoah. And Amiri is a poet and a jazz critic, etc. So whatever the case is, that's Pharoah Sanders. And what you heard is an evidence reissue of a CD that was originally on Teresa Records. And if you want to pick that up, I believe that's still available. The great Idris Muhammad is on drums on that particular track. And the ambiance is so spiritual, isn't it? Oh, just love that song. And I definitely, as I was telling the bride, Beach, in the chat room, along with Griselda and Kim, and E, visiting with us today, had to say that we have to keep the show balanced, because when Chris McNulty comes to join us in less than 20 minutes or so, we are going to go through a little bit of emotion because of the fact that we will be discussing her son, Sam, otherwise known as Chap One, the great hip-hop / jazz artist. I say that with even more meaning now, because when you hear Chap One's music, and especially lately for me, hearing it in juxtaposition to other artists that are experimenting with genres, let me just tell you, when you hear Chap One, you can decide for yourself. There is something so different about his spoken word with the music that surrounds him as he does it. You can call your own shots, but we'll be talking about him. It is a year since Sam left us, so at the age of 30, by the way. And we'll be talking about that. Needs to get discussed. That spirit of his will live on for always, but it's nice to be able to give you some really buoyant music in the meantime, as we delve into things that might be emotional, but will certainly be healing. So keep that in mind. We heard right before Pharoah Sanders, surprise, 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 a little track called Sound for Sore Ears. That was Najee, by the way, from his CD, The Smooth Side of Soul. Let me tell you something. I don't care what he calls the title of the CD. That was a little rough. I liked it. I like it like that. With James Lloyd. Wasn't that something? Man, it was so cool. Something to know about Najee. If you go to his website, najeemusic.com, that is one smoking website for a couple of different reasons. The front page of the website features Phil Perry, who's on the CD, doing his song on the album, and that's a smoking video. And then, as you enter the site, that's just page one, you enter the site, you will see things laid out the way they're supposed to be laid out. When you go from one page to the other, you don't lose the audio. You can choose to stop the audio, but you don't lose it. Very, very smart. Whoever put this website together is smart. Also on the, there's the word, I'm sorry, Beej, smooth side of soul is Jeff Lorber and Chris Big Dog Davis, along with James and Phil Perry. Really a tasty CD. And it kind of is misleading, to tell you the truth, because you're not going to get all the tracks being the S word. You're going to get some straight ahead stuff. Woohoo! Love that. Todd Marcus from his In Pursuit of the Night's Man. This is the Todd Marcus Jazz Orchestra. He has a sort of a if you will, a big band, and then he can do a quartet or a quintet or a duo, whatever the case is. Todd is so adept on that bass clarinet, such clarity. He has been internationally recognized for what he does with that instrument. And I wanted to tell you, because this is so important, we heard Malal Salama, which means in Arabic, goodbye, God bless, as a nod to his Egyptian roots. Just love that song. Todd is going to be at Andy Music in Baltimore on the 27th with the Eric Kennedy Quartet. Eric on drums, Mark Meadows on piano, Max Mary on bass. It will be awesome. And if you get a chance to see him in concert, if you are out and about and can come to this region, and he does travel outside the region too, please go grab your chance to see him. Let me see if I can get to this. Let me see. Joyce Cooling. Haven't heard from her in a while. I think we need to hear Dolores in Pink before we get to Chris McNulty at the top of the hour on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
crowd is almost gone, but here we are still dancing. Oh, nothing to do but waltz. Our feet can barely move, my legs are yelling whoa, but we're in such a groove, and love is still advancing. Nothing to do but waltz. You can't suggest that we could go on jitterbugging. We've nothing left for moves more strenuous than hugging. We don't need much room to gently cut a rug in. We two. No, we don't need nobody else but we two. I'm tired and out of juice, and yet from head to toe, my body's feeling loose and warm and kind of supple. Nothing to do but walk. My arms just won't let go. I think I'd like to stay till we're the only couple. Oh, nothing to do but walk. You never know how far this sort of thing can get you. We're not as tight as we would like to think. I bet you'd stay up half the night with me if I would let you. So come on, baby. Do this waltz with me one more time. the crowd is almost gone, but here we are still dancing. Nothing to do but waltz. Our feet can barely move, my legs are yelling whoa, but we're in such a groove, and love is still advancing. Nothing to do but waltz. It's nice to feel us both get hot beneath the collar. Where else could you get thrills like this for just a dollar? I plan to keep you here all night, unless you holler. So come on, baby.
As a disc jockey used to say in old school radio land in Philadelphia, get up and help your sweet mama. Lord, that was good. Woohoo! Chris McNulty and Jitterbug Waltz from her forthcoming CD. I am so excited to be able to play Joyce Cooling on guitar. And then another phenomenal woman, oh Lord, on vocals, Chris McNulty, vocalist, composer, educator, jazz diva in the best sense of the word, made her way quite a few years ago from Australia to New York. I am so glad that she has returned to us today. My love, how are you?
I'm here, and you are here. I can't believe it. I was sitting thinking, do they know I'm here? I do.
Oh, no. See, I can't reach out to you before. If I put your, if I activate your mic, then we're on the air. So you had to wait, babe.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. I wasn't sure whether I had done the right thing. So I was listening, thinking, I'm not sure I'm there.
Oh, you definitely were. Yep. As a matter of fact, you are very wise because you are the only person who has come to this show when I see that somebody is waiting to talk to me. You have on your number, unknown. So that's how I knew it was Chris McNulty, because the phone number is unknown.
That's because I'm using Skype.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Very cool. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm just tickled. I'm tickled because you know at this point that you're one of my favorite people on the planet, so having you back it's a treat and a half.
Oh, well, this is a mutual admiration society hour, I guess.
Well,
I feel the same way, Trish. You've been an amazing inspiration and source of so much help for me this last year. I can't thank you enough for just your words of wisdom and your prayers and thoughts and your wonderful show, and just I thank the Lord for this one.
Well, and that's the key, Chris, and I thank you, and give glory to him, because honestly, it was God who brought us together. There's no question about it. He has a way of putting people together when they need each other the most. So that.
Well, thank you, thank God.
Yep. Boy, I'll tell you what. You had sent me these tracks in the last hour, And it takes a while to get the tracks loaded. So I have, let's see, I have three of you and two of Sam, and I think that they'll work out real well. I had no clue, Chris, love this. Jitterbug Waltz is like 8 minutes and 24 seconds. And it is so wonderful to have that kind of lengthy track on the new CD. Tell us about this CD, because you're excited, aren't you?
Well, I am. I am, and, in a way, I think I might have explained this last time. Some of these releases take quite a while to come out, you know.
Yep.
And even Sam's Chap Ones, they're all posthumous releases because things just took a real dive, in 2008 for everybody. So, I'm very happy that it's coming out not under our own steam, under our label Elephant Dreams. I'm really happy that somebody else is doing it, which means I don't have to do the hard slog of all of the a tentacle spreading around the globe, which is it's a thankless task, really. I mean, you just have to work and work and work, and a lot of independent artists know this. It's I've done it so many times. I kind of pretty well am good at it, but I'm just very happy not to have that burden this time. So Challenge Records is putting it out, and they'll be doing all that grunge work. So I'm happy about that. I've probably moved on to a couple of other projects by now, which I'm writing music now for this orchestral strings project, which I'm going to be collaborating with an Australian colleague, fantastic orchestrator Steve Newcomb. So that's a project that's coming out after this one. So yes, I am. I'm thrilled that the song that Sings You Here is coming out. And when I listened back to some of this, just a little bit of the tracks before I sent them off to Challenge, and I had to supply them with a bunch of text, it was quite extraordinary because this music and this recording and the songs were written before I lost Sam. And it's probably the only text I've sent for them to put on the liner notes. I just kept it very, very skint, if that's the right word, this time. And I just wrote that in listening back and looking at reading the lyrics, and it's so weird. It just feels like I wrote this music after Sam went. So I don't know. It's very hard to explain how that could be, but this project was done before, but there were just elements of in the music and in the lyrics of Long Road Home, the song that sings you here, that sort of just kind of carry you through this period of time somehow. I don't know.
Well, you know, you're going through a lot of changes. My gosh, I pay attention to what you say, not only on your page, but also in messages to me, and what is not being said. So, you know what? This might be another way for you to heal, to examine why you're thinking that. 'Cause definitely I hear, and I used the word before in the show today, buoyancy when I hear Jitterbug Waltz, but then I go to Lonely Woman, and I feel that. I feel that song, and I feel Letter to Marta. Listening to the high and the low of where your emotions were, I can see where you would think that. Pretty surreal, huh?
Yeah, it's I think that's every artist. I mean, we strive for those things too, you know, when we put projects together. I think we also are, you know, I think just the nature of what we do, I think we have a large range. The landscape's kind of wide for we want to have that. We don't want to be just touching one emotion when we perform for the audience across the board. I really try very hard to make sure my performance, lifts and elevates people. And also when we perform these kinds of songs like One Less Bell to Answer, and I mean, there are many people that cry, you know, every time I'd perform that song, before and after Sam. There's an element of those songs that touch a certain part of a person's emotions, and they're not always able to do that. That's what we're here for sometimes, I feel, is to just spark that and bring that to the fore. So the music does cross it crosses a lot of boundaries, I guess. Just and also my influences, as a lot of us. I mean, I just always find that really fascinating as each generation or age group kind of passes through a certain phase, and then another generation comes. You see this really interesting juxtapositions of influences. You know, there are the singers that are 10 years, 15 years younger than me bring other things to the table that I didn't have. And then the singers that came before me had all these other kinds of influences. So it's just it's fascinating to hear what the singers, especially in this current times. I'm seeing and hearing so many great young singers that are really bringing some very new stuff to this genre.
Oh yeah,
you too,
Chris. You are right, and that brings up a point. And you know, no use waiting for me to tell you this. I'll just tell you this now, because you know, in reading about you, first of all, your background, you were listening to a lot of soul back in the day, and then you got spun around when you heard Billie Holiday and Sarah Vaughan.
I did.
Yeah.
I completely changed the course of my career in a profound way. I think I may have just kind of subtly by accident discovered some part of that in me when I was, because I was out on the road on tour at a very young age. So that particular period of time in my life was incredibly difficult and dark in a lot of ways. It was the early 70s, and it was, you know, post-feminist, but not really in Australia on the road. It just seemed pretty archaic and pretty brutal kind of environment. So it was very tough. And I think, you know, as you said, I was doing that kind of music and came back to Melbourne after two stints on the road and just went, that's it, I'm not doing this anymore, not that anyway. And I was very lucky to get hooked into major studio work. So that really enabled me to become a jazz specialist, and I really specialise in the jazz thing, because there was certainly a lot less money to be made doing jazz gigs, always has been. But the studio work really really supported and augmented the income a lot. So, but in between that was just coming back and having those very early Billie Holiday records. I was just speaking about this on Facebook to somebody this morning. They were commenting on Amy Winehouse's Round Midnight, which I thought was pretty amazing. So, and I just see her as this generation's Janis Joplin, you know.
That is so wild. My God, you know what? I don't know what it is about you and I, but you just mentioned that, and you were planning to stay past this hour so we could just like chit-chat and talk about music that I'm going to play in the 3 o'clock hour. Don't you know that I had a song planned by you and I was going to segue right into Miles Davis and Round Midnight?
Well, that is, you know, we may be, that's kind of freaky.
I know, and what you said, it's so unbelievable. And in planning the show today, knowing that you were going to be on, immersing myself in you and also in Sam's music as Chap One, I was just starting to think, and it just regenerated something in me, Chris, because I knew that you had said that your world changed when you heard Billy and Sassy. So I'm listening to the dream that I have in my head, which is to see that this show becomes a full-time jazz, hybrid jazz station. And I was thinking of conversations that many people are having these days about the genre of jazz and how to get young people pulled into it. And I thought, oh my gosh, I heard another artist, and we'll hear him coming up during the show, and I'm listening to Chap One, and I'm thinking, wouldn't it be so cool to have this radio station come to pass and have certain shows on that station devoted to turning young people on to jazz by playing the music of Chap One?
Oh, well, I mean, that would be a blessing, and really, in a way, it's extraordinary that he got to that so early. In a way, even though you know, we were just getting these releases out now, but what he was hearing and how there's a video just got sent to me of Sam Chap One that's a compilation of a whole bunch of freestyling that, you know, he did with that band on the Sunday night at the Horn, which is in Melbourne, which is where he performed the last lot of gigs he did. And they're just extraordinary because there's so much really hip, odd meter stuff that he finds to sing across the time, which that you'd never hear any rap artist doing, but Sam was doing it. So he came from such a fantastic... he really absorbed all that jazz from like a little kid because he was, you know, he was surrounded by it. I made sure. And, you know, he was just, it's amazing what those influences can do to young kids, you know.
Oh.
I see this a lot when I teach. They just, they really eat it up.
Yeah, they do. And then, you know, it's the unexpected. It's when, you know, here you are. You are being this facilitator to letting them know that there's a whole lot more in their world than what they hear. When they hear you be able to pass on some knowledge about a music that they would have not necessarily gravitated to unless they knew you, how much of a turn on is that?
I think it's a great thing, and I've noticed that sometimes just at places like Dizzy's with the staff, the young staff, and they're listening to very different music to jazz a lot of the time. But I noticed a couple of times they would come up after the performance and tell me how much they really dug it, and I was always taken aback, thinking, what? You know, that's, you know, why would they be digging this? And I'm thinking, in a way, it's because if you put that soulfulness in there and really bring something to them that they're used to hearing, but bring it with a more of a depth of harmony and improvisation, then they're going to love it. I really truly believe that's what my big whole belief thing is, to get into junior high, to get into the, you know, underprivileged neighborhoods and try to give these kids a chance to explore their creative voices through improvisation and just music, you know. And a lot of people are doing that already, but it's got to be done more.
Oh, yeah. And you would have loved it because a couple of weeks ago we had actually three people on to discuss this. We've got the UB Blake Cultural Center and National Jazz Studies Place in Baltimore. And they were doing a Kickstarter campaign just as you did. And
oh, wow.
They were putting together, they already had, you know, permission, they already had everything assembled so that they wanted to put out a CD so that proceeds would go for summer educational jazz programs at the UB Blake.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. I mean, it's just great to see people actually really trying to, you know, bring people together to find ways. You know, I mean, there's always an issue of money and how to fund these things, and I haven't even taken that step yet. So, you know, it's a long journey unless you have people jumping on the wagon and helping. You know, get these things off the ground. I don't know. It's really wonderful. Wonderful to hear.
Well, you know what? Here's an idea, and I'll just throw this out to the universe. I just found out this morning that Mariah Carey will join American Idol. Chris, do you know how much money she's going to get paid for doing this?
No.
$18 million is what the producers of American Idol are paying to Mariah Carey. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if she turned around and said, this is ridiculous, let's fund jazz education or music education anew in schools, putting a certain aside a set of money so that kids can learn what I learned. $18 million, Chris!
Well, I mean, look, I have no... It's hard for me to comment. I don't know who this person is, and I don't know.
Mariah Carey?
No. I don't know her personally to know what her situation is, what her desires are. I thought she was. I just don't. It would be fantastic, but I mean, everybody that I know that has given, like, that, you know, there are certain. There's fantastic basketball players that spend an enormous amount of their money contributing to kids' programs, and not just for athletic programs, but for all kinds. I'm just trying to can't think of the guy's name. An absolutely wonderful human being. So I just think that this is a philanthropic country, you know, a lot more than other countries. So I think that people could you know, bring it up to her and see what she had to say. I mean, who knows? I don't know about people's financial situation. Some people are doing it because they've actually run out of money, you know.
There's a point.
Which is great. I mean, a lot of artists that were really huge names in the 60s and 70s, why are you seeing them out on tour now? It's because they don't have any money. That's why they go out on tour. So...
No, it is a point, yeah.
It would be fantastic to see her do something like that. Any way you can get it, I guess. But if people like Mariah could, you know,
well,
get on board, it would be good.
I see the excesses in this country, and, you know, I am so... chagrined at folks and their priorities, but in any case, Alonzo Mourning, was that the basketball player you were trying to think of? Because he is wonderful.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of, I know about Alonzo too. This is the players that are playing currently. Really,
you're right.
It's going to come into my head very soon who it is. I think it may have been something.
Yeah, there are three or four that are really very, very proactive about helping kids and Big Brothers programs and, you know, food pantries all across America. I know what you're saying.
If we can get, you know, the thing is that there are people with humongous, people with $6 billion. I mean, what can you do with that money? What can you do with that much money? That's ridiculous. They're the people that need to give some of it away.
I know. It makes perfect sense to me because, gosh, I mean, and you remind me so much. I just told T that you were going to be on, and I said, I love to hear Chris so much because you have this quality in your voice that reminds me, after me hearing for the umpteenth time, I'm embarrassed to tell you almost, that I've listened to The Secret 8 times. And I just love, there's a certain quality that soothes me that Rhonda Byrne has in her voice, and you have that same quality in your voice. You are a soother. If people understood the basic premise of that, which is, that you don't get more that's going to satisfy you until you give that away. you don't get the satisfaction of having the blessing if you don't grasp the notion that much of that should be given back.
Listen, there's nothing that I couldn't agree anymore. I just feel like, you know, this is a very short time, really, in the whole big picture of time that we're here on this planet. And to me, when I've got it, I give it. I mean, I'm not stupid.
Yep.
I'm not going to completely end up on the street. Like, Sam was an incredibly compassionate and generous person to a point where sometimes I'd have to sit him down and say, Sam, could you just like just consider that in the end you're calling me because you've run out of money, but you've given some to somebody else. So,
oh, bless his heart.
He, all the homeless people knew him. You know, that hung around on Broadway at 143 as a little kid, as a young teenager. He never, ever, ever had anything else but compassion. They always loved him because he always spoke to them as equal, and he always gave them money. He was just that kind of human being. I was always amazed at his how he could be that way from such a young age, but he was. And he never ever, he only got more like that exponentially as the years went on. You know, each year went on, he became more and more like that. So I don't know. I think it's such a huge thing to be
huge.
That way. I don't know how people can't be more like that. But what a huge difference between that and all these greedy people.
Oh, well, that would be another show entirely to speak on that.
Mm.
no doubt. And you know what? It's that is a word. There is a kind, just as in describing your voice, there is a kind of compassion in that voice that Chap One had in conveying a message. Not always a bright picture, but there was always that compassion in that voice, and there was a hope to let you know it could be okay. It could be okay. And that's why I gravitate to him. T, by the way, has gravitated so much. He's got these two LPs. He's over the moon with the LPs.
Fantastic. I thought he'd be the one that would get the vinyl. So Chap One's message was incredibly positive. He spoke about the negatives of the world, but he was elevating. I've got a couple of things that I'll try to read before I go. Just a couple of things that I just thought were really kind of profound, and some of those testimonials that got sent to me. But anyway, that's for further up the road.
No, listen, you do what you want to do. This is you. I mean, the next, from now until the end of the show, you know, you're going to be with me. And I wanted to play something from the Chap One Durban Poison joint venture. And I thought Days and Times would be cool. Is that okay with you?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Okay. Well, this is just one of those magic moments when Chris was with me before. My gosh, this is going back some months ago. It was a different kind of place for you to be, Chris. I probably can say that. And now it's a place that we can see the journey ahead. And this is 4 minutes and 5 seconds. I think that after you hear this track, Days and Times, you're going to feel a little different about where you are right now on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Durban Poison, Chap One. It's over, the game, it's done. Yeah. Check it. Yeah.
As real as the rebel, get a trench, set a level next. On the open ocean, floating, soaking in these moves. Depth, thinking about the sights and steps, check the process. A lack of progress, a balance, freedom with the light of success. Green and purple, morning glory, growing while we map the story. Check it more than ordinary, think of more than berry. So the crew deep, like the coral reef shelf. Tectonic plate melt, hot from the five bubble blocks. Where we hustle, bubble, bumble in the concrete jungle. Keep our throat out the open, staying wise on the humble. Check the rhythm of our hard life. Lead us with no leaders, please. Tell me where they leading us, so everything's a believing but us. The problem with solution, bring the vision. I adjust the level, top gear, thrust to the pedal, hunger, pain, belly unsettled. We moving at light speed, adjust the level on the mental with these math degrees.
You see, it's real any day, sometimes now. It seems hard to stand up and say how. How does history and past is so fast? Deliver like the music and remain the soul child. And yeah, we do this for the love of this music. And try to tell them what a little bit of truth is. Stay in tune for the rise of the movement. We're doing this from dawn to the moonlit.
Come on. Check the lunar lit. Notice like a solar eclipse and how we move through it. Intertwine like a thread through a stitch. Into minds and enterprises, real thoughts do exist. So through here until the end of time, we here to uplift and walk the matrix. Born a face of a modern racist. Spoken through the word and time, try never replace this. High fixture face fly by, aviator, skyscraper, lights bright. Nightlife, type of flavor, ocean tides rising when I'm yawning in the morning dawn. Dreaming, chilling with my shorty on the 48 cologne. Chilling with my knowledge born under a tree. We're still surviving in the system, striving, trying to be free.
This is real. In these days and times now, it seems hard to stand up and say how. How does history and past be so foul? To live a life in music and remain a soul child. And yeah, we do this for the love of this music. And try to tell them what a little bit of truth is. Stay in tune for the rise of the movement. We're doing this from dawn to the moonlit.
We take a chance in these days and times. A new slant like an Indian Asian side. Fuse that with the wisdom of ancient minds. Peruse maps to adapt to the ways of life. Do the math, calculate where to place the knife. Another chapter provides a new page to slice. When the fork in the road could either take you right to where you left off or stop there, wait and hike. On the real, every minute is a mission in the quest to be yourself. So injecting every second is investment in your health. The requisite possession is the essence of the self. Every lesson learned is really for your betterment. It helps when those highs drop rock bottoms where you reside. No, the prize is not lost, it's just where you decide to keep your sights on and fight for it every night until your time's gone, trying to make 10 from 5.
You see, it's real in these days and times now. It seems hard to stand up and say how. How does history and past be so foul? To live a life in music and remain a soul child. And yeah, we do this for the love of this music. And try to tell them what a little bit of truth is. Stay in tune for the rise of the movement. We're doing this from dawn to the moonlit. You see, it's real in these days and times now. It seems hard to stand up and say how. How does history and past be so foul? To live a life in music and remain a soul child. And yeah, we do this for the love of this music. And try to tell them what a little bit of truth is. Stay in tune for the rise of the movement. We're doing this from dawn to the moonlit.
So digging that track, Chap One and Durban Poison from Future History and Days and Times. Woo, Chris! You know, when you hear those female vocals interspersed with that spoken word, there's something so powerful happening. I was thinking of Blade Runner, and you talk about Future History because that movie was all about being in the future, and. I was hearing something that Robert Glasper had to say, and somebody said, "Oh yeah, Robert, you're the future of jazz." He said, "No, I'm not. I'm what's happening in jazz now." And I thought, man, that's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like what he said.
Yeah. Oh well, there's more coming up regarding that too, because. Robert Glasper is the other person I thought of in regard to Sam, and how Robert would absolutely love what he would hear that Sam did. And I'm going to make sure that he gets it.
Sorry, I think it cut out for a second. Sorry about that, Trish. Well, Sam should have been here, so that's the... The big tragedy is that
you know, I raised him here, and he really shouldn't have been down there for so long. But that's a whole other story. And that's the biggest tragedy. So it's that if he had been here or had been there, he'd be still with us. But anyway.
No, so, you were supposed to be where you were in the universe, Chris. You know, you are possibly one of the better moms I have ever heard discussed, ever knew personally, honestly. You just made sure that everything that you did revolved around Sam, and you really have inspired me to be what I can be as far as my son's journey is concerned, honestly. You really have.
Thanks, Trish. Yeah, I've been given that encouragement and reinforcement over this past year. It doesn't change a thing about how you really feel about the what ifs and the if only. So, I mean, it's very important to hear, and it's also very important in so many ways to acknowledge your work and your efforts. And, you know, in many, many ways, when you don't, you're kind of committing another kind of, well, I don't like to use the word sin, but, you know, you really have to acknowledge the work that you do and the efforts that you make and take that with you every day, in every place you walk, because when you don't, you're not using that positive energy of what you've achieved and helping the people around you, because when you own it, you spread it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
When you own that energy, you spread it, and people get help from that, I think. There's something that I read somewhere in the Bible, somewhere that talks about that, and I was kind of taken aback by the power of those words, you know. That,
what you sow on earth, you know, you really, it does come back to you, you know, apart from the word karma, which is a whole different scenario. But that's why I'm so drawn to the New Testament, because Jesus was all about that. You know, there was a post that was in Facebook yesterday, and it's a very simple statement. It said, "What if the whole world cared?" Contemplate that. And that's what the New Testament was all about, the fulfillment of the old and making sure that what you were all about was love. So whatever you're channeling while you're walking the earth is most assuredly, in ways that you don't even comprehend, it's a domino effect. Conversely, the same can happen if you're spreading ill will or idle gossip or poison into existence. But Sam's life was all about that goodwill, and in ways that you don't see right now that will happen, that's happening now, is that what he has done is going to forevermore change the face of people's spirits, forevermore.
Oh, I believe that. I mean, just reading these testimonials from colleagues, close friends, everybody that loved him and knew him, it's pretty amazing, you know, what the threat is, you know. The threat is pretty amazing that he, in his short life, left such a legacy of care and compassion. I don't know, it's...
You can hear it.
Yeah, but in the words of his friends, you really read it in everything that they wrote, you know. Not one didn't write this about him.
Just a wonderful thing when somebody lives the message that he discusses, lives the message that he sings. We can't talk about that enough. That's so beautiful. And it's the absolute quintessential reason why we're here. Honestly, that's it. And I see this number here. I'm not sure what this number is, and whoever is calling on that 443 exchange, send me, I'm saying this to somebody who's calling, send me a text message and let me know who you are, because if I don't recognize the number, I'm not going to necessarily gravitate to it unless I know that they're here to talk to you. So let me segue from that to this. The new album is going to drop on what date? August what?
Oh,
for you.
Well, you know what? I have no clue about which exactly what date. I think it's just basically the end of August. So
the end of August. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a date. They actually rarely give you an exact date these days. But I actually was going to be in touch to just find out exactly whether they can give me that or not. But it'll be the end of August. I can't really say exactly when, but hopefully I'll know that soon.
And that's a Dutch label, right, Chris?
Yeah. I think they joined forces with another major label over there, Benelux, I think. And so they're actually putting out most of the jazz records over there these days, Challenge Records. So it's a good one to be on, for Europe especially.
That's very cool. I'm just so glad that it's happening. And I really so dig the album. And God bless you. I couldn't believe it. It was like Christmas when you sent me this wonderful care package. My God, 4 CDs and 2 LPs. I thought, she is going to get hugged so much. And I thought it would be cool. We're talking about this date for us to finally meet, because we have not done it.
I'm trying to figure out how we win.
Well, you know what? I'll figure it out. And I just got a date in mind, and I think that it might be a turn on for you to have this particular date. I'll tell you in a little while after I play the track that I'm going to play. Just found out today that the artist that's going to be part of this show is coming to the area, and it might be a good area for you to come to anyway, because it's not so far removed from your circumstances that you couldn't get to it easily. Am I being cryptic enough?
I'm trying to follow you here.
I know. I'm just trying to not ruin the surprise, because I want to play 2 songs back to back, and one of them is by the artist that is being discussed here. Can we play another Chris McNulty track, please?
Okay.
Yes.
Tell me
this from the album. Tell me about the circumstances for A Letter to Marta.
Oh, my God. Well, it might be just a bit too lengthy to tell. It will be on the liner notes. It's the only story I felt like telling outside of Sam and this loss. But Letter to Marta, I wrote to Marta. It sounds like Letter to Marta, lettuce, tomato. Oh, my God. I wrote this song when I was 14.
Wow.
Yeah, I wrote the song when I was 14, and I had no musical education whatsoever, so I went to bed every night and sang it in my head, like silently in my head, which is so kind of hilarious in a lot of ways, because I just attended an observation. I was just invited to observe these Kadai immersion courses that they hold every year in the summer. At NYU and a bunch of places around the globe, also in San Francisco and Hungary. And anyway, the founder of Kodai Method is Hungarian. So I know this sounds bizarre, because you're thinking, where in the hell is she going with this story?
No, you go ahead.
I was listening to, at 14, I was listening to R&B and Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, all that music. It was just an amazing time to be a young person. The radio was extraordinary, and it was the only place you could actually hear music at that age was radio. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Radio and records, and we didn't really have that. I don't even know whether we had a record. Well, we did have a record player, but anyway. So that song that I wrote has nothing to do with any soul R&B of any kind, and it just kind of like the point here is that I sang it over and over in my head because that was the only way I could have taught myself the song and remembered it. And then it just laid dormant for decades and decades and decades until I saw a film called The English Patient. And I heard this fantastic Hungarian folk singer by the name of Marta Sebastian, who is just somebody that just blows me away a lot. And I went out, and this is when Tower Records were still in existence, and that's how you bought CDs. You went to the store. And I went to the world music section, and I grabbed as many as I could find with her on it. And some of them were kind of popish instrumentation of folk music, and others were very a couple of other CDs were really legitimate traditional folk music, which of course interests me because Bartok went into that whole thing and really brought a lot of the Hungarian folk music to the fore, and it's a whole huge part of also jazz studies as well. If you want to go in that direction, it can be anyway. So I was really impressed with that Hungarian folk music and all the modes from the tradition of that music. And anyway, I got home and I started listening to this music that I bought, and believe it or not, I started somehow singing this melody, and then a lyric started to come, and I was like, this is bizarre. What am I singing? What is this song? How do I have this lyric in my head? Why am I singing this song?
Wow.
And I realized it was the song that I wrote when I was 14, and it fitted like completely perfectly over this Hungarian mode. So that's when I realized that when I was 14, I wrote a Hungarian mode. I mean, I wrote a song that fitted over a Hungarian mode, but where did that come from? It's just very archaic.
That's beautiful. That's ancient, and that
yeah,
you know,
it's a very ancient song, and it was just really mind blowing that somehow or other in that environment, I'd never heard any classical music, any music like that at all. No musical education, but that's what it was. So anyway, the long and the short of it is that there was some interesting kind of other little things that crept into this story. My grandmother, Nana McNulty, was the catalyst in the family, and everybody, we all spent every Sunday in her house in Brunswick, and it was lots of dancing and singing and food and just an incredibly jubilant, joyful, wonderful woman, Nana McNulty was. And with a name like McNulty, of course, you think Irish. So the story gets kind of more complex, but I'll try to finish this very quickly and just say that apparently Nana McNulty was just married my grandfather, whose name is McNulty, and that's about the only Irish part of us. So Nana McNulty, it turns out, mother's name was Rachel Bryant, and Bryant is an anglicised Jewish name in Australia. The British and the Australians all anglicised their names. And apparently Rachel Bryant married a Swedish sailor who jumped ship in Melbourne to get his papers, his immigration papers, and they married. And his name was Peter Gellert, G-E-L-L-E-R-T. And I really found this fascinating because she was the most powerful and strongest part of this whole family, was my Nana McNulty. And so I started to research the name Gellert for a start. This was all at the same time, very bizarre. And I followed, it's like Gellert, Swedish? I don't know, that doesn't sound Swedish to me. And after a few days of looking and searching, the name Gellert actually has its origins in Hungary.
Yes. Wow. Wow.
So that's the story of Letter to Marta.
That's something else, and it's so beautiful. It really does haunt me in the best way. This is Chris McNulty. Love that story from The Song That Sings You Here, the forthcoming CD. Can't wait to get everybody in the frame of mind where they're going to buy that CD. This is Letter to Marta on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thanks, Trish. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh.
rattled along my walls, down my hair, in my brain. 5 o'clock in the morning, all alone in rain in December, and it will always make me
McNulty, Letter to Marta from the song that sings you here. Just love it. The chat room is loving that tune, Chris.
Woo! Yeah, it's such another little funny story, because I recorded that a cappella up here in the house on the top of the mountaintop here in Pennsylvania, and I just all I just decided was, you know what, I think I'm just going to put that song. It came back and entered my life, and it hadn't been there. So I'm just going to put it back in there, and I'll just sing it a cappella, and I'll take the file with me into the studio when I record the rest of the jazz part of the main part of the recording, and I'll get the band to play along with it. So what happened was, I was just up there with the Neumann mic and the headset and the windows open, and the second bar of that tune, you heard all the thunder. And you couldn't have orchestrated this. This is all the birds and that massive thunder at the beginning and the beautiful bird song and the crickets and just really beautiful. And then at the very end of the song, the last two bars, you just hear that huge big thunder.
Wow.
Again. And it was so completely, that was just off the cuff, just sang it through once, and just kind of bizarre, took it in and had the band play along with it. And then when we brought the files back to mix it, I think Paul and I both just said, let's just take everything out and leave Andre Kondakov's piano in there. And that's what that is. It's just Andre. He is so funny, because I put it up at Facebook ages ago, and Andre Facebooked me back straight away and said, Chris, it's very beautiful, but I think you make a mistake. It's not me. I said, oh, yeah, man, it's you. He said, but Chris, I don't remember ever doing this song. I'm like, yeah, you did. You just played it with a trio. We took everybody else out and left you in.
Very good accent, by the way. And
I've been to Russia a lot. That's why.
Oh, I know you have. My God, you know what, Chris? I didn't realize, and maybe I'm going to embarrass you, and I don't mean to embarrass you, but my gosh, you really did have a name in Australia, because you were playing TV and you were touring a lot, pretty young. When you go back to Australia, what is that like? I mean, do you have the red carpet rolled out for you, or what? I'm just asking.
You're kidding me, right? No.
No, I'm not. No, because...
No, but I go back and I do, you know, I do the major jazz clubs, and you know, good crowds come out. But I've lived here for 24 years.
I know.
I had a bigger name there in the early 90s, and then I didn't go back to Australia for 7 years. And in that gap, it was just too long a gap. But that's a whole other story. It was just so, you know, a lot of other people have come along, younger people that have been given lots of support through the government council, the Australia Council. So, you know, it's all great. I love to see people getting ahead, and there's some wonderfully talented young jazz singers coming out of Australia. Just wonderful.
Really?
Yeah, great. But very different. They're coming from a less traditional background, and I think the jazz program's there, and there's a culture of really good singers in Australia. So that's one thing I know for sure. And there's some really great jazz studies programs being run in Melbourne, Monash University, Griffith University in Brisbane, WAPA in Perth, headed by wonderful musical directors. And I teach in all those places when I do go back there on tour. And the singers they're good. So look, I'm well known, and I get to go back there and do pretty good stuff. But it's not culture. It's a pop culture in Australia. There's fantastic jazz musicians and, as I said, great jazz singers. But it's 20 million people. It doesn't have the population to support jazz like most. But there's really wonderful funding for jazz musicians in Australia, a lot more so there than here. So
that's really wonderful. I did not know that, and we should be ashamed of ourselves, because the origins of jazz are such that it dictates that we fund something that is so closely associated with American culture, and here's Australia funding programs on jazz. I mean, that's remarkable.
Yeah, well, there's something wrong here. It's a tragedy to me. It's a complete tragedy that this music is from here. I mean, there's other problems with the way things work in Australia. It's not a problem, but I mean, they want to fund Australian music, and so they want to fund Australian jazz musicians who are writing original music, and they want it to be, you know, more Australian based. But to me, jazz is jazz. It's a universal language, and
that's right.
The roots in this country. So I find it really disturbing that it's easy to make a better living playing jazz in Australia than what it is here, you know.
Gosh, that is so crazy. And you know what? Somebody mentioned this earlier because there was a post about, you know, Mariah Carey and American Idol. And somebody had said in response to the post earlier on Facebook, it would be, you know, such a great idea for these TV shows to have a show whereby, and he's, you know, naming some jazz acts and naming some soul acts in conjunction with that. I said, well, here's the thing. You know, American culture is so immersed on what's happening in the media, on television, that there's going to be no idea like that unless, Chris, and I know that you agree with me on this, because this just makes sense. We need to have that music going on in our heads all the time. You know, pop music you can hear on terrestrial radio 24 hours a day on commercial radio stations. We only have a semblance of what we can hear with jazz on nonprofit radio stations that only have jazz programmed a certain part in the day. So it's not like these TV networks are going, oh, there's a lot of money to be made from jazz. No, they're not saying that, because we have to hear it in our heads all the time, which is why some of these jazz festivals are now jazz and R&B or jazz and soul festivals, because folks don't hear jazz enough.
Well, you know, I don't know how that's going to get fixed. It seems to have gotten, I don't know. Listen, play Strange Frequencies. That's got fantastic soloists. Gary Thomas, Baltimore native, brilliant tenor player. Paul Bollenbach, me, a whole bunch of great players soloing
with this hip-hop thing. It's hip-hop, R&B, jazz. I mean, if people hear that and hear what we did with Sam's Music, all we did was opened it up. We just extended the form a little bit so we could also improvise over it, through it. And then Sam went back in there and freestyled a whole lot of different things once he heard, because he wanted to interact with what the soloists were doing. So it's just a beautiful thing. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. If it has to get changed and altered, I'm completely open to that. I want to hear new things in jazz. I'm loving what the singer-songwriters are doing. I think they're bringing some of the freshest component to this genre in a lot of ways. It has to be rewritten. It has to be coming from now, from the street now, not from some other time. It's what jazz was always, current music, you know, coming out of current times. The music, look, even listening to Amy Winehouse's version of Round Midnight, it was great. She just had so much courage to do that. She was brazen. I mean, it's strong. But, you know, it's really, really, she took it and said, I'm going to do this my way. And that's, to me, what jazz is, always. It's listening. That's the thing that has to be taught here, is that in this music, it's all about listening to each other, and that's the empathy. It's a great thing to teach. It's a great thing to get into those into that age group, 12, 11, 12, 13-year-olds, and start. You can do it with vocal groups. You can do it with a cappella work. You can do it with a lot of things where they're improvising and they're singing together. It's a great thing. And that all is a part of jazz to me.
Oh, it for sure is. And here's the thing about Amy Winehouse, and this is why Tony Bennett loved her so much, one of his favorite people that he had ever met, and he says that over and over, is because she had the grasp. She revered what had gone before her. So she was listening to that as she was growing up and immersing herself in this. There's a difference between, you know, some of these young people who think that they know all the answers and think that they can start fresh without having learned from what mastery was all about. Because if there's no reverence for the past, something gets lost in the translation when you're trying to deliver the honesty for the present into the future.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I mean, I completely agree. You cannot move forward without going back and having a look. You have to know what that is. You have to go back to Louis, Billy, everybody. And
yep.
I know she did. Her father was either a jazz musician or got her into jazz. So she was very lucky in that way. And I did see her standing next to Tony Bennett, and I looked at all those singers that did that duet thing. And I really got her vibe that she was. There was something really warm and lovely about how she was standing next to him. She really showed him, to me, she was there showing him the most amount of respect. I really got that from her. And, you know, I'll just say this. I think when I had a look at where this Round Midnight was recorded, it was off her first record called Frank. It was the B-side. I don't even know whether it got any airplay. I don't even know whether it got released then, but... That was when she was clean and she didn't have a drug or alcohol problem. It was 2007. It was her first record, first album release. So I'd just say this about even Billy as well and Janis Joplin, of course. I don't love everything that Amy Winehouse has done. There's some stuff I just think, my God. But her pitch and her tone and her technique was not good. But it was all... probably due to the drugs and alcohol. You can't sing and do that to your body. You cannot sing. I mean, players can do it and still not do well, but you cannot do that as a singer ever and not absolutely ruin it. You can't do a good job when you're doing that stuff. So like, I saw her really, you know, go not, you know, she deteriorated really, really fast after she'd like, I don't know what brought that on, but you know, tragic. She died 2 days after Sam.
Oh, wow. Wow. Her father has plenty to say. He's got a new book out, and you'll have to read the book. It's fascinating. He's got, of course, his ideas on what transpired, but the cool thing about Tony Bennett in what he said to her was that she reminded him of the whole vibe that Dinah Washington had. And
she was a pretty full voice singer, Amy Winehouse. So and so was Dinah. So that would be the parallel there straight away. Is that you know, Dinah Washington never sang with any head voice. She was full voice, not triple forte, but you know, pretty strong the whole time. And I hear that with Amy Winehouse. Well, she did drop a few notes in that were nice and. Just one note every so often. It was a head voice, which I really liked. So,
head voice,
which is a lot of, you know, all of the high note improvisation that I do is head voice. You know, I'm not singing full voice. I used to as a young singer, but you know.
Well, whatever you're doing, sugar, is just fine and dandy, fine and dandy. I love this, and we're gonna make sure I'm gonna play another song by you, and in this this last hour, I'm gonna play something from Strange Frequencies because I've been looking forward to doing this. You've got the song that sings you here coming out, and this is another track I wanted to play, "Lonely Woman," because I love this song. You want to explain, Lucy?
You're funny. Lonely Woman. Oh boy.
I think it speaks for itself, actually. But it would be good to hear a little story if you had one.
Horace Silver tune.
Yeah.
And it was actually put together pretty well. You know, just went. I love the melody, and I actually really like it as an instrumental. I think I've always liked it as an instrumental, and I don't really know where I got that approach from. I just, you know, sometimes it's just the lyric is gonna take you where it's gonna take you, you know, and the treatment just came from that. I think maybe Paul and I talked about it. We weren't really sure about. I think I was just. Struggling with which treatment to give it. So as far as the ensemble and how I wanted that that played, so I had to talk about it a little bit. And I always do with these tunes is I'll sit down with Paul and say, well, this is the approach I want to take here with this, and let's have a look at how we're going to arrange this. So sometimes I do the arrangement, and sometimes Paul and I do it together, or he'll do one like he did the arrangement for How Little We Know, which is, you know, a whole different thing. But Lonely Woman, I'd always loved the tune. I wasn't sure. You know, with ballads, I got to do them when I'm ready to do them. Especially the lyrics. So, you know, it took me a long time to do I Love You, Porgy, but I did it when I was ready to do it and could make sense of the lyrics. So,
man, that's a whole other discussion right there. Well, I thought it would be cool to do this song. I just love the idea that you incorporated a Horace Silver song into your CD. And oh my gosh, I do too. I've got a 3-song set here, so you're going to hang out with me till 4, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's see if you enjoy this set, because we're going to play you first and then 2 other songs after that. And
okay, cool.
Put a bookmark in that thought, because I want to ask you about Paul. Paul is coming to the area very soon, is he not?
Ah, that's right. You know what? I did not know until just yesterday or the day before that he was going to be in D.C.
D.C. with two of my favorite people, Benji Parecki and Mark Prince.
I don't know who they are.
Yes, that's who he's going to be with. He's playing with some A-teamers in the D.C. area. He's going to be loving life.
Oh, you say their names again, because we're like ships in the night a lot of the time at the moment, just trying to get all of our work done. And I didn't even I only got this just the other day. So who are the musicians?
One of the most astounding keyboard players ever, young Benji Parecki, and one of the most illuminating, visionary drummers ever Mark Prince.
Right, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is that next week or this week?
I think actually this week. I went, wait a minute, do I see Paul's name in this mix? And I wanted to ask you, so you brought Paul's name up. So
I think it's tomorrow night.
Well, you know what? I'll get my my facts together, and we'll make sure we pump that event before the end of the show.
Oh, great. That would be great.
Okay,
and
cool.
That would be really fantastic. I've only done Blues Alley once, and we had a great night, but there wasn't a huge crowd there, but I just don't think I'm very well-known down there. Maybe I'll get more well-known.
Hey, look, you know what? Seriously, if you're going to play in this area again, you know that I'll stretch myself 10 ways out of 12 to make sure people know.
Trish. that would be hugely grateful. I don't get down there, but I do love coming down there. It's a great place.
Well, you're going to be down here really soon because we're going to make plans for you to be here to see a show, and that's where we're going to meet, and it's going to be colossal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we got a 3-song set here. First to start off is Chris McNulty, who has been our guest, and this is so cool. Lonely Woman from the song that sings you here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
night, when it's dark and cold, I'll reach out for someone to hold. When I'm blue, when I'm lonely, she comes through. She's the only one who can. My baby grand is all I need. In my time, I've wandered everywhere around this world.
So Chris McNulty, how'd you like that, huh?
Beautiful.
Wasn't that cool? I thought you'd
yeah.
really enjoy that. Billy Joel with Ray Charles. That was a marriage made in heaven, man. Woo!
Oh yeah. You know, it was because I'm using this little headset. It's coming through my headphones a little bit distorted. So I knew it was Ray, but I couldn't hear. I couldn't pick who the other guy was. So that's really nice.
That was from the Bridge in 1986. That was his 10th studio album, Billy, and that was the last one produced by Phil Ramone. And I just love, I love the CD because there's a track on there called Big Man on Mulberry Street, and it features Ron Carter and Michael Brecker.
Oh,
love that. Yes.
Yeah,
so,
I love Michael Brecker a lot. It's a real huge loss.
Yeah. So I wanted to play that, and Ray inducted Billy into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1999, and I thought, well, that's, you know, it's got such a warm vibe, and I wanted to make you feel warm, so it was a good thing to play after Miles Davis and Round Midnight.
totally beautiful. I was digging it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. So glad. And
oh,
here's
yeah,
the deal.
So I love Ray.
Oh, my God, Ray. Oh, jeez. I mean, you know, how many artists can you possibly think of that appealed to so many genres of music? You know?
Oh, he was just he's another one. One in the, they don't come along very often.
That's right.
No,
that's right.
That one, Ray was just, well, I don't think there'll ever be anybody that comes near him. He just completely just so profoundly unique.
Yeah, yeah. Just, and I love the fact, my God, when I was growing up, I remember that Ray was on actually what we called back then country and Western radio.
You were actually into that genre too, right? I thought
yes.
You, at some point back then. So I mean, he made some really amazingly unique choices in his career, and he never stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah. Never stopped.
No.
Yeah.
I think he was very wise. The way he did it, because the choices that he made kept him in the business for a lot longer than a lot of other people. So, I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, beautiful. Ray's one of my favorites of all time. Good choice.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad. I had a feeling that you were really going to gravitate to Ray. One of the best situations ever, after having lived in Nashville twice. When Ray came to play the Grand Ole Opry, oh, my God, was that a day. Wow. It was just so monumental.
Yeah, I saw him live once, and before I came here, before I came to the States, and it was memorable, beyond memorable.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I got to see him live.
Yeah. Just a different trip. Trying to explain to somebody what it's like to see a certain person on stage is sometimes difficult, because you can't really articulate the larger in life. It feels like you're watching your own movie and you're the star of the show. But it's really that was just one of a kind. You're right. Passing this way again for somebody as huge as Ray Charles was, who you know, there's something to be said about not having your sight, because other things can come forth from you in such a way and be able to touch people. He forevermore did that. We'll be talking about Ray Charles for years and years. Isn't that wild?
Oh, I don't think we'll ever stop playing his music. I mean,
no.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just everything that he did was amazing.
Since the three song set was on, as promised when we last spoke, Paul is going to be at Blues Alley tomorrow with Benji Parecki and Mark Prince and Marshall Keys on saxophone. So
that was the name. That was the name that I remembered. I think that's the conduit for Paul, is Marshall Keys had called him. So there you go.
Well,
I didn't remember. I didn't. The other two names didn't ring a bell, because the only name that Paul mentioned was Marshall. So I guess it was because he was the one who called him.
Yes, and when Paul has a chance to work with these three cats, he's going to be so happy. This is going to be at Blues Alley, and bluesalley.com has all the information. If you are in the Washington, D.C. area, tomorrow night, it's going to be a great show. Woo! Man, it's going to be
good. Well, Paul's from down there, so he's been – they're buddies from way back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Paul's a D.C. guy.
I did not know he's from D.C.
Yeah. No, he came up in D.C. That's where he's – but that's where he learned the ropes. His parents moved to the Georgetown area when Paul was about 14 or 15. So he spent his formative years as a musician. That's where he played with all Paul, the DC guy.
Wow. And it's funny because I thought that I recognized, before I knew you, I thought that I recognized Paul's name, but I wasn't sure where I recognized it from, because I'm thinking about my German roots. You were talking about your roots. My great grandmother was Ava Scheinstein, so I know all about German Jewish or Jewish roots. And I'm thinking of Bollenbeck, and I don't know what the original derivative was of that name.
Just the K was an H, and it was an H up until around the First World War, I think. And then that, I think Paul's great-grandfather changed it to the K, probably because, you know, it wasn't so cool to have a German name in that period in the States. But I think there's a town called Bollenbeck. It's near the Dutch-German border.
Wow, okay. I'll have to do some research with that, because I'm always fascinated. always fascinated.
But he's a mix too, you know. It's all just Celtic and Pennsylvania Dutch and all that stuff in there.
Oh, we all are, Chris. We all are. I mean, push gets to shove. We've all got our roots in Africa, that's for sure. So, you know.
Yeah.
I wish people would just understand that we could stop all this bullshiggity that's happening in the world if we just understand that we all came from the same basic tribe. You know?
Yeah, you think we would have figured that one out by now, 2012.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Not quite there yet. No, I think it'll take a little more evolving. For some folks, it's going to be a little slower than others. But I wanted to play two songs, and one of them is by Sam. But I wanted to play these two songs back to back. There was going to be a third song in the set, but we're not going to have time for it. This is the guy that I want you to come see with me just a few days before my birthday in October. He's going to be at Ram's Head in Annapolis.
Okay, cool.
And he's going to bring his experiment with him. I just picked up, love picking up magazines. I'm not a Nook girl. It's not the same as when you pick up a physical magazine from Barnes & Noble or one of the other places where you can get magazines. So I picked up Downbeat the other day while T was tooling around at Barnes & Noble. And there's Robert Glasper everywhere. And he is doing stuff that is so wild in jazz, for Downbeat being a more or less, in quotes, traditional jazz publication, to have embraced Robert with the new way he feels about jazz is pretty awesome. So have you heard anything from Black Radio yet, his latest?
No, I've kind of been out of the loop with listening to anything new. I've just been buried in all this, you know.
Okay.
Work.
That's okay.
To try to catch up, so I've missed, but I'll be checking it out.
Well, you're going to hear a track right now, because this is, you might recognize the tune, and some people in our chat room might. This is a very different interpretation of a songwriter that I'll just talk about it afterwards. We're going to have a two-song set here, so we'll wrap things up after that. But this is Robert Glasper and his very creative team, Robert on piano from Black Radio, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, with our special guest, Chris McNulty.
Great.
I remember her by Black
McNulty, those songs Chap went
one.
Together. Yes, and Chap One went together with that Robert Glasper song so much, didn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, that was like a real journey. I was just sitting there thinking how amazing that was listening to him, and then I didn't know you were going to play For the Soldiers straight into that, but it just really worked beautifully. Yeah.
Didn't it, though?
Man, I love
Wow.
So sometimes I hear his voice and I just think, man, that's the first Strange Frequencies he's done before this, those tracks like The Price, where he's just singing, like really singing, starting to sing. So I could just imagine how much more he could have done, you know, if he was alive and working with all those cats. I just wanted him to be back here so he could be doing what he was supposed to be doing, but anyway, it was beautiful to hear that, and I love. Who's that singer that he's using? Or is that him, Robert Glasper?
You know what? He's got such a plethora. I was so excited about the track, and I should have done more research. But I wanted you to hear. It's one of these folks, because I don't have the physical CD in front of me. But honest to God. On that CD, because Robert has had a journey in both hip-hop and jazz in the past many years. He has Lupe Fiasco on that CD. He's got Yasin Bey, who is actually Mos Def, who changed his name. Bilal is on this, Layla Hathaway, Erica Badu, Music Soul Child, Chrisette Michelle, Michelle Indigo Cello is on this. So when I saw the listings of who was on a particular track, it just mentioned Robert Glasper. So I don't know who he's going to have at Ram's Head, but I thought you would really gravitate to that kind of stage performance.
I love Michelle. I've got every record that she's done. I mean,
oh my God,
I just love Michelle Indigicello like crazy girl. I love her. And if Yeah, I've only seen her live once, and I keep missing her when I'm out of town. But whenever she's been playing, but man, that sounds like a definite plan. That's a plan.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you the information because you certainly need to get out of town. And, you know, maybe come with Paul, and it's going to be in Annapolis. So, I mean, there we are. That's a hoot and a holler from his stomping grounds. And, man, that would be cool. That would be like a birthday gift for me.
So what date is that show?
Let me check out right now while I've got you on the phone, while we've got a few minutes. I just found out this very day. Let's see. And there's actually a new application that you can get in Facebook. Friday, October the 12th.
Okay, cool. And you got a birthday coming up then.
Four days after that. Yep.
Oh, great. Okay. So, you know, I'm in and out. I mean, I'm constantly on tour a lot. So, you know.
I know.
But, I mean, that period of time I'm going to be back. So I'll be down. I don't think Paul would be coming down, but definitely I'll make it for sure because I think that's the time he's going to be out on tour. So, but I'll be back, so I'll be there.
Well, cool.
Sounds like a fantastic concert.
Oh, my gosh.
Celebrate your birthday.
That's, you know, I don't know what it's going to be because this is a big one. You know, this is 60 coming up, so.
Yikes. You don't even look a day over 40, girl. You're looking good.
Cash or check will be sent to you, honestly. I am so glad that you had some of this time, a lot of this time to spend, because I know that this was going to be one of those scenarios where we would be talking about Sam and we would be talking about your music, and I know that there's a bunch of mixed feelings that have combined in our time together, but you have to know how much we all appreciate, those of us who have heard Chap One's music, what we're going to do to make sure it continues.
Well, we've got. I'm so appreciative of the time that you've given us, Trish, last time in December and December or January, I think, December, just January. I can't remember which month I was in. We did this, but I'm so appreciative of the time and the just the efforts that you've made to give this music some airtime. You know, it's really an honor to be here, and of course I want to spread the word about CHAP. I'm just starting the radio campaigns now. We're going to do Canada first, and then it'll be all college radio after that in the States. But I'm trying to fit it in between all my commitments, and I really want to get this music heard and out there. So, you've been given the first crack at it, which is fantastic. You've been playing these tracks,
and there will be more. There will be more. Now that I have the I was sort of waiting for a little bit of a go-ahead from you. I wanted this to be the official day, and now this beautiful assembly of music that he has created, and you, such a big part of it. I love to hear your vocal next to his. It will be in the mix forevermore because I just love it. I believe in it, and it's something that a whole new generation is going to appreciate, and your music as well. I love your voice.
Thanks very much, Trish. Thanks for having me on the program. It's been great just listening to the music and chatting away and just being able to be a part of your day and your life for a minute here. It's been lovely.
Well, you are always a part of my life, that's for sure. Unless you physically throw me out, I'll be there.
I wonder whether I have time to read like a couple of lines here.
We have 90 seconds. 90 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a little bit?
His talents as an artist were exceptional and prolific, a truly gifted individual, but above all, a beautiful human being. So I'll leave the last words to him. This is Sam. Uplifting, where we leading out of the gates of Babylon towards the Garden of Eden.
That's what he has spotted to remind us, that the flowers bloom to spread the shine and light the moon, find it through the dark and gloom, seek the rise, the morning dew. Those words will stay with me forever. It's Chap's gift to the world, that his words and his music live on. They, along with all the love and memories of Sam's time here, are as enduring as his spirit is. That's written by one of his dear friends and colleagues, Liam, the monk.
That's
house.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
God bless. Man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you for sharing that with us. And I'll be talking to you, and we'll be playing some Chris McNulty music as well as Chap One. And again, thank you for the gift of you.
Thank you. It's been an honor to spend these few hours with you, Trish, and I'll see you down there in October for sure.
Good.
That's a bet.
All right. All right, Chris.
Okay. Take care.
Bless. You too.
God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We'll see you with Dawn Norfleet on Thursday on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.